And last year, in around the summer in September, I asked you, what questions have you got about church or from the Bible, whatever it might be, that we should look at and you would like me to address maybe on a Sunday morning? So we are doing the first in our series of congregation questions. There were some good ones. There were some scary questions that I went, I'm going to put that at the end because I've got to do some research. And there were some that I went, oh, that's a shame, there's not enough weeks. And we'll do them another time. But this one, the question that was asked was around offerings and sacrifices and the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Okay? I'm not going to say who asked the question or whether it was like one of you or 10 of you. Some questions were asked in different ways by multiple people. That's fine. So, offerings and sacrifices. Has anyone ever done a sacrifice?
Sacrifice
sleep for the kids. Okay, great. You know, there's not been like a, you know, the giving of a, I don't know, thing that needed slaughtering or something like that. It's interesting because when you turn to the Bible, it does mention sacrificing. But it's always in the context of offering. It's always in the context of offering. So it's about offering things. So our first reading that we're going to have is Exodus 25. I'm going to get rid of these as I go. So I've got so many bookmarks in my Bible today. Exodus 25, which says, so this, for those of you who know your Bibles and you think, okay, so the rules about sacrifices and offerings and all that sort of stuff, that would have been introduced when they built the tabernacle, when the Israelites, they left Egypt and they got Moses and all that sort of thing. And yet before that, they were offering sacrifices and giving offerings. And in Exodus 25, verses 1 to 9, it says this. The Lord said to Moses, Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering to me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them. Gold, silver, and bronze. Blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen. Goat hair, ram skin, studded red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood. Olive oil for the light. Spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. And onyx stone, and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishing exactly like the pattern I will show you. Some of you, I've noticed, got your Bibles out, whether on your phones or in your hand, in a book or whatever it might be. What do you think is the key part of that message? Do you want me to read it again? I'm going to see if you pick up on it. Okay, I'm going to read it through, and when you think, that's it! Is it the rams? Is it the gold? Is it the sanctuary? Okay, you ready? I'll read it again. See if you can work out what the key part of this message is. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them. Gold, silver, and bronze. Blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen. Goat hair, ram skins dyed red and hides of sea cow. Acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you.
The heart.
So he says to all the Israelites, tell all the Israelites to give these things. As it begins, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. It doesn't say just tell those ones that are really wealthy. Tell those ones that, you know, they don't do enough already. Says the message to everyone. This is the whole of the Israelites. Now at that point, there's quite a few of them, but they grow in number once they get out of the desert. And he says, but to receive the offerings from me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. So giving offerings and bringing sacrifices isn't about a priest or somebody going, hey, Sonia, you did this thing. I heard you did this. You need to give some more. And I'll make you feel guilty if you don't give enough. Doesn't work like that. We can put figures on it. Some people will say, oh, and tithes we're going to talk about 1 week, I think that came up. But some people say, you must still give 10%. Others say, no, that's Old Testament teaching. Jesus never talks about it. Whatever your particular theological stance on how much you should give, the way that we give is the most important. And that comes right at the start in Exodus. Doesn't come at the end where we go, oh, Jesus said to me, the heart. No, this is right. This is early stuff. This is key to the way that we give. So then when we come on to the other things, I think there's a picture of a heart. There is. That's nice. Then when we come on to the other things, when we get into Leviticus, when it starts, when we get all sorts of different offerings that are suggested, and there's a whole host. If you read Leviticus, for those of you who don't know, it's like all the laws that are laid down for the Israelites. You've got to do this, this is how you do that, this is how you do the other. We've got to make sure that as a community we do things properly, and these are the rules. Okay, so I've chosen one example. I could have chosen any number of them. But Leviticus begins with, talks about burnt offerings and grain offerings and fellowship offerings, which are also known as peace offerings, and sin offerings and guilt offerings. But Leviticus 5, beginning at verse 14, gives a description of one of the offerings and what's to be brought and how it's to be brought. And I have to say, I'm glad that we don't do this now. Okay? The Lord said to Moses, when a person commits a violation and sins unintentionally in regard to any of the Lord's holy things, he is to bring to the Lord as a penalty a ram from the flock. Okay? So you've got to bring a ram, male sheep. Anyone got any male sheep? Got no female ones? I know. Equality there, we've got Levi. Fair enough. Maybe you've got a piece of one in the fridge ready for cooking at lunchtime, I don't know. One without defect and of proper value in silver according to the sanctuary shekel. It is a guilt offering. He must make restitution for what he has failed to do in regard to the holy things. Add a fifth of the value to that and give it to the priest, who will make atonement for him with the ram as guilt offering. And he will be forgiven. If a person sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though he does not know it, he is guilty and will be held responsible. He is to bring to the priest as a guilt offering a ram from the flock, one without defect and of proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for him for the wrong he has committed unintentionally and will be forgiven. Notice it repeats itself. It's important. It is a guilt offering. He has been guilty of wrongdoing against the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving his neighbor and about something entrusted to him or left in his care or stolen, or if he cheats him, or if he finds lost property and lies about it, or if he swears falsely, or if he commits any such sin that people may do, when he thus sins and becomes guilty, he must return what he has stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to him, or the lost property he found, or whatever it was he stopped, swore falsely about, he must make restitution in full, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it all to the owner on the day he presents the guilt offering. And as a penalty, he must bring to the priest, that is to the Lord, his guilt offering, a ram from the flock, one without defect, and a proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for him before the Lord, and he will be forgiven for any of these things he did that make him guilty. So, in that passage, we're told about one offering, the sin offering. Make sure I'm talking about the right one. The guilt offering, even. So, and it says at the start of that passage, when someone does something unintentionally. So you do something and it's unintentional. You didn't realise you've done something that offended someone. Oh, God. You did something, it was an accident. Okay, I've got a question for children. If you do something by accident, and you still do it, it's something you do wrong, but you know, you do it, it's an accident. Do you have to say sorry or not?
Yes.
Well, even though it's an accident? Yeah, but you didn't mean to do it. You still should say sorry? That's the rules, is it? Who made those rules?
God.
Seems like a good answer to me. God, absolutely. Sorry? Well, who is the ruler of the world? Exactly. So therefore we get the rules. God says to us, if you do something, even if it's an accident, you didn't mean to do it, you still got to say sorry. But then, what happens if you do something on purpose? Artie? What happens if you do something on purpose? You do get shouted at if you do something on purpose, yeah? If you do something on purpose that's a bit naughty, you get shouted at. I've never had to shout at Peggy, but it's come close a couple of times. Oh, she tells me it's an accident. That's right. What happens then if you get shouted at? If you do something on purpose, do you just carry on as normal afterwards?
No.
No? What do you do? If you do something wrong, God shouts at you. What happens if you do something wrong? What does Mummy or Daddy say to you? You have to do what? You have to do what they tell you. And what they sometimes say to you is their special place you have to go. So I can hear you say that. You've got to go and sit on a step, have you? Do Mummy or Daddy ever have to go on the step? Yeah, just Daddy. There we go. Oh, have you ever put Mummy or Daddy on the... We go in the hall, don't we? To go in the hall. Have you ever put Mummy or Daddy in the hall? You tried to a few times, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes if we do something wrong, we've got to receive a punishment for it. Because we did something wrong, we've got to learn from it. And it's not because the person wants to punish you and wants you to have something bad happen. You've got to do it because you've got to learn. And then do you just carry on as normal after that? After Amelia? If you've had to go in the hall, do you then carry on as normal?
No!
No? Oh, no. What do you do then? You do what? You get told off. After that, do you then just carry on? When you finish on the step and you're allowed back in the room to play? You still have to say sorry, even when you do it on purpose. Wow. And sometimes, what happens, as you get a bit older if you do something, you might break someone else's thing. If you did it on purpose and you stole it, you went, I like the look of that rolling pin. I'm going to have that. And then we found out about it, we'd say, you should probably buy us a new rolling pin. That's like a reasonable thing to do, isn't it? Or replace it, or give it back. Well, God did the same thing.
God said the same thing. Now, one of the things
that God said, where's
the sheet I had?
So, if you would like one of these sheets with information about offerings, they're on the back table by faith. You're welcome to pick one up. It's got a few details on, and it talks about, in very brief note, the different offerings that are given. So there's the burnt offering, which is given for different things. But the interesting thing about the burnt offering, Stu, you're welcome to sit next to your wife, Malcolm. The burnt offering is a voluntary act of worship. The grain offering is a voluntary act of worship. The fellowship or the peace offering is a voluntary act of worship. So there are three that are voluntary. And then there's the sin offering and the guilt offering, which are mandatory. And what we're told in each of them, though, is that we should give our best. You don't just go, hey, yeah, you know what, I love God, and I'm going to bring him an offering. But you know what? I'm feeling a bit skint today. Do you know what? I'll give him a few pennies. I'm going to save that £10 for something for later on, because I want to, I want to go out for coffee and get something nice, maybe a slice of cake. Depending on where you go, you might be able to take someone with you. And you think, well, I've got a few coppers in this pocket, I'll just give them. And God says, no, if you're choosing to give and you're choosing to worship, I'm not forcing you to do it, but if you would like to make an offering, then I want to give you the best. I want you to give the best, just like you might want to give to your loved ones. And that best is going to be different depending on how wealthy you are. Now, I have never been able to afford a diamond. Not sure my wife would particularly want a diamond, but there we go. But I've never been able to afford a diamond. It's unlikely that I will give a diamond. I might give some flowers. And sometimes, when, things are a bit of a struggle, I might go into Tesco and I might get the ones that are on offer. Sometimes, when I'm feeling a bit more flushed, doesn't happen very often, I will go to a florist and I'll ask for one that's made up. Because I want to show my wife that I love her and I want to give her the best that I can possibly give. And God says, if you love me, if you want to choose to give, give your best. Now, I thought I'd try one of these offerings. But I'm going to need some help. That was quick. Brilliant. Okay. Lily, you're going to come and help me. Okay. Now, when I go shopping, or when we go shopping, usually, if I was like buying baking things, I just buy like cheap flour. Like, maybe not like Tesco value, but like the one that's like Tesco's own. I mean, sometimes it's value, but at least Tesco's own. I never get like a name brand flour, because flour's flour. Who's going to really know the difference, okay? Yesterday, I went shopping, and I thought, I've got to get the best of the best of the best, okay? So I bought some flour. So I bought white, premium, white bread flour. This is good stuff. Don't know if you do baking. Does anyone do baking and actually know if the flour makes any blind bit of difference? It does. It does. I also, because I thought we've got to do this properly, I didn't know if anyone needed gluten-free, so I got the finest gluten-free flour that we could possibly find. Okay? So we got the best. This is the best, at least it was available yesterday at Morrison's. Okay? You might be able to get finer flour. I paid more than I normally would. Okay? I also looked in our cupboard. Now, we were given this as a gift. It's not even been opened yet. If we use oil, most of the time we just use like vegetable oil. Occasionally we have a little bit of olive oil, but it's still like own brand. This is, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Zaytun from Palestine. Organic extra virgin olive oil, hand picked and rain fed with warm pepper. Sounds good, doesn't it? No, we didn't buy it. This was a gift. So I'm going to open it today. It's just oil, right? But this is the finest oil. And if you read Leviticus, it says about the offering that should be brought, it should be grain, and it should be the finest grain. And we should bring olive oil, it should be the finest oil. So I thought we'd bring that. So I'm going to need your help now, okay? What I need you to do is open the flour. You might want to do it over that way. Oh, wait, before you do, health and safety. Especially if your mum's here and she's like, the boss and stuff, and there's like risk assessments and all that kind of thing. Right, can you just wipe your hands? We'll make sure we're clean to start with. All between the fingers, do it properly. Don't know if you've got your medics in. There we go, do it all properly, there we go. Lovely. And then what we'll do, we'll put these in the bin. Right, you can do the flour now. Excellent. And I'll turn that on. And we need 200 grams. You alright with that? The number's on there. Okay. 200 grams. So this is our offering that we've got to give with the finest of the finest of the fine. Does anyone need gluten-free before we just do normal flour? Okay, we're good. Getting close. 192, 194. That's close. Two, right on the nose. Brilliant. Okay. think what we need to say. And then normally, who just uses normal salt? If you buy salt, has anyone ever bought any fancy salt before? Yeah, you just get sea salt, right? And you might get it in a grinder, or you might get like it's already ground and you pour it. Well, yesterday I went and bought Malden sea salt flakes. Yeah, I didn't even know these existed. I was thinking salt is salt, but no, this is Malden, the original since 1882. This is good salt, and I bought a whole box of this. And all we need is a pinch. But that is how important it is. When you give your offerings, you don't just get any other stuff. You get the best that you can get. It's going to pop. Yeah, I know. We can do this. You know what? I'd love you to try, but I don't want it to be you that makes the mess. I'd rather it be me that did the really messy bit. Harper's on it, see? I don't even need to ask. My other assistant. Thank you very much. That's a much better way of doing it, isn't it? We'll get some scissors. There we go. Put that in the bin as well. Right, we need a pinch. Just a pinch of salt out of this. I mean, I don't know how salty you like the bread, so, you know. Pop it in there. Lovely. Excellent stuff. And then, we need 100 millilitres of water. Now, because I planned ahead, this holds 100 millilitres. You hold that one. Okay. And apparently what you have to do is pour it in gradually. Okay? So. Oh, we might need another assistant. Hang on. Does anyone else want to help? Oh, Jack, you're going to come and help? Brilliant. Right, if you come around this side. Jack, you come around this side. Lewis has come to watch. Right, you stand there. Right, this way then. Come around here. I've got to get you this spoon. Oh, right. Pop that spoon. Brilliant. Good job. Right. Okay. What are you going to do? You're going to pour a little bit in. There we go. Now, can you come and stir it really carefully? That's it. Get that water. That's it. Lovely. A little bit more water then. Just a touch. That's it. A little bit more stirring. I've got to remember who I'm telling what. So we don't get... There we go. That's lovely. A bit more of this bit. There we go, a little bit more water. You don't need to do anything with the scissors at the moment. Yeah, a little bit more stirring. We've got to get this mixed up. That's it, love. Ah, that's it, a little bit more water. A little bit more stirring. Is it becoming a bit more doughy and sticky? Yeah, and then a bit more water. Oh, it's getting a bit tricky now, isn't it? Shall I help a little bit? There we go. No, if I take the stairs right there, wouldn't it? There we go. Right, there we go. Well, it's becoming more bread-like. Right, a little bit more there. Lovely. Lovely. Right, here we are. We're doing good there. Oh, it's getting more doughy. Getting more doughy. Right, a bit more. Lovely. Oh, this is looking good now. Let's hope it works. I didn't practice. Okay. Right, there we go. A bit more. Is that all of it? Right, now, can I grab a bowl in here? Is that right? Oh, that tip over me. Lightly soft. Right, so this becomes... Now, you wash your hands, haven't you? So, I don't mind you touching this, because you've got clean hands. Right, you ready? That needs to... Can you knead that together? Would that be all right? I'll just do that. Right. Can you knead that together nicely? And then we'll see how it's going. Look, wonderful. Yeah, get your fingers in. Get it all together. That's lovely. So, what would happen in the temple, in the Old Testament, what would happen is you would have the person would come to give their offering, and the priest, in this case, I would take the role of the priest. I hope you don't mind. And they would bring things, and they would give it. And it would be the priest's responsibility, with some helpers, to actually accept them. And they would cook some of it. They'd give some of it for their families. And so it was, although you were giving it to God in the temple, actually it was the way that the priest was also looked after. So I've never been to a temple where they've done all this, but they'd have had to go through. Well, you've got it on your clothes. How's it going? Is it coming together nicely? It's looking nice. Okay. So whilst we might come and worship God, and we sing songs, and we bring ourselves here, actually, there was a lot of ritual and routine in coming to the temple, because they had to, I mean, this is one of the easier ones, because they haven't got to, like, slaughter the goat, or kill the sheep, and then cut it up, and do all the process. This is one of the easier things that they would do. And they would also bring incense. Now, I didn't have any incense, so I just got some cumin seeds. And what they would do... How's that going? Good? Right, now... at the altar... at the altar, they would have a fire. Now, this is as good as I could get on a fire. I got camping stove. And it worked yesterday. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. No running around the communion table. Okay? So there we have a fire. Is that going all right? And the fire would burn away. Is it nice and soft? Or is it a bit like... this is the point, right? We've got to have this. And what we need here, this is the finest of the fine olive oil, right? Best we could get. Alright, there we go. Can you grab this spoon? We need two of these. If I remember rightly. So what we'll do, put that one in there. Put that one in. Do you want to mix it at all? We're going to get your fingers in it again. We might have done it a bit too much before we could get it out. Right, here we go. We'll do it like that. That goes in there. And then you've got to knead it all together and it's going to be lovely. Okay? You can put that on the table. We're going to be fine. That's it, get your fingers in there, make a mess. So can you imagine, when they were doing this, like we come to church on a Sunday, and we do what we do. They come to the temple, and there'd be flowers, and there'd be things for cooking, there'd be smells going on, there would be goats, and sheep, and pigeons, and doves. And they'd be preparing them in their various ways. So it's going to get pretty messy. Right, how's that? Is it looking all right? Okay, what I need you to do, can you split it into... what should we say? You reckon four? I reckon four. Let's do it in four. So the pan goes on. I had something just now. There we go. There we go. Put some cumin seeds. So I can make it smell nice for the first one. There we go. Bit of cooking in church. Now I feel like I should, like... and now we're going to be doing this. So, cooking displays from Ritz. So it starts to smell. And fill the church. Okay, we're going to put some flour on the table. Children, can you stand back a minute? Of my wonderful assistant. Can you stand back a bit? Can you stand back a bit? Because I'm going to ask Lily to roll this out. Okay. Lily May, is it? Lovely. Right, so put... Lily Light. Alright, there we go. So put some flour on that. Okay, stand back a minute. That's it. Stand back. Yeah, you're alright. So flatten one out a bit and then roll it. That's it. You know, the one thing I forgot to get was a plate. It's silly, wasn't it? Look at that. I knew if I said that, there were going to be two people that would move there. Could have predicted who it would have been. How's that going? Is that working all right? I mean, it's not... yeah, that's nice. Yeah, we're aiming for round, but it's not too much of a problem. Nice and flat. Lovely job. Yeah, squish it really thin. Lovely. Turn it around, turn it over, roll it back. That's it. You could be brutal with it. Push it really hard. Roll it around. There you go. You didn't know you'd be coming to a baking lesson in church this morning, did you? How's that going? Shall I double check it? Because I'm going to get you to do the others in a second. Yeah. Right. We're going to get it nice and thin now. Ready? Watch your fingers. What am I making? Well, hopefully, if it works, I'm making flatbread. If it doesn't work, then we're just making a mess. Okay. Possibly, we're doing both. Yeah, we're making ice. Right, so, okay, we're aiming flat currently, okay? I never made them before, so we're just trying. So then, pop it on there, turn the heat up. Can you imagine doing this every Sunday?
Can you imagine doing this every Sunday?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Well, we would get quicker at it, and I might not have the volunteers in the same way and doing all the things. But you'd come in and you'd say, right, I've come with my flour or my sheep or my goat or whatever, and I want to make this offering. And so that's what you do. And as the priest, I would go, right, we've got to go through all the preparation and do it just so, and it's got all the details. It's a lot of work, isn't it? A lot of work? Ooh, progress. I'm hopeful. Got to give it a couple of minutes. You see, what happened is... Oh, that's going to sound like the other one. I don't remember. The comparison between the Old Testament and the New Testament is some things don't change. Some things don't change. We're still called to come in love and to give in love. We're not told to come out of pressure from someone saying, you've got to do this, you must go to church, you've got to do these things. Should we come because we love? And God gave himself because he loves us. I need it. There we go. I'm going to heat it up a bit hotter. That would be better. Jesus came as an offering. He's sometimes described as the sacrificial lamb. That's brilliant. You're getting good at it. He's sometimes described as a sacrificial lamb. Sometimes he's described as the high priest. And the reason that we don't have to do any of this or bring sheep into church or anything like that is because Jesus gave himself as the final sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. And so there are still people who will do very similar things to this. But the comparison with the New Testament is all of this is not necessary because Jesus has given himself for us. And we have the great privilege. It's looking quite good. It's looking alright, isn't it? Of celebrating and sharing in both his death and his sacrifice and in his resurrection. And in a little while, we're going to share in communion together. And we'll share in communion and we'll break bread that's been given as an offering made of the best that we could get hold of. With the best baker that we could find. Because God, he did have rules. He still does. And the Old Testament's really important. And there's all sorts of things that should be offered, but they should be offered in love. And that was the same then, and it's the same now. It's all right, huh? And so the reason that we can come and worship God together is not by giving of ourselves and giving our things away and having the best and going, well, someone else can have it. We get to worship God because he loves us and he gives himself for us.